Hey, what's up? Black and Jew podcast episode, is it 50? Are we at 50 already?
Fuck you, Reggie.
Is it 49?
If I was an employer, you'd be fired by now. I'm not going to say. I'm just going to let
it's
you.
It's 49.
I'm just going to let
it's
you.
It's 49. Wallow, everyone, it's 49.
Wallow
he's just being
your fucking ineptitude. That's what I'm going to let you do.
It's 49.
You owe our listeners more than that, Reggie. You owe them more than just not knowing what the episode number is. It's episode 65, Reggie.
Podcast.
Where have you been? It's 65. Episode 65. Fucking
oh
asshole.
Oh my gosh.
No, it's episode 49.
Where have I been?
Yeah, you've been in a time
where
capsule. You're like a podcasting Rip Van Winkle.
I got frozen for just like how many weeks? Just 10 weeks, really. Like, just got frozen for like 13 weeks. And I'm like, what episode are we on? It's 65, Reggie. Get it together.
We have to go back. We have to go back.
We have to go back.
Yeah. So, hey, guess what? I got a job.
What?
I got a job.
You got a job?
Yeah,
hey, no longer a bum.
I'm going to be fucking going to Warner Brothers Studios as a tour guide.
As a tour guide?
Yep.
A job's a job. Job's a job.
Hey, fuck
you'll
you.
You'll be the funniest tour guide. No, wait, sorry. There's probably other comedian tour guides.
Fuck you.
Sometimes I fantasize about that, about like maybe stop comedy and just become the funniest like indie house theater manager, right?
Yeah. Mr. In front of house manager. It's a fancy name they give you for making espresso soon.
Yes, hopefully it's just that espresso machine is just tied up in a bunch of bureaucracy. Like I gotta like, oh, send it to this guy. And then this
did you
guy
get,
needs to wait for this.
Did you buy an espresso machine yet or?
No, we haven't yet.
For the listeners,
just heads up to the listeners.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're Reggie's buying an espresso machine for Coral Gables Art Cinema, and he's asking me for my advice.
Yeah, and I asked Mike for his advice because, you know, Mike's a giant coffee nerd, and mm-hmm. he gave me some really good advice because I had a jumping off point from what he gave me. I researched it, and fuck, man, coffee's really specific. Like,
yeah.
Like and I think you rubbed off on me where like I just can't have coffee. And it's not just like you know, coffee. No, it has to be coffee. I need to get it right, get the shot right, tamp it right. I need to do everything right.
Yeah,
you should get
like a nice little wood handled. They have like really nice wood handled tampers. I I'm not really into espresso that much. I don't really drink too much espresso, but I know I have a cursory knowledge of it. But if I see a nice machine, I'm like, this is the fucking place where I'm going to get coffee. Well, that's what I like about LA is like you, like so many places just have like ridiculously good machines. Whereas in Miami, you really got to seek it out. Like the UCB theater, like the Upright Citizens Brigade, they have a training center that is also a theater. And they also have this place called the Inner Sanctum, which is just like a little coffee shop. It's just a little place where you can sit, read. They have mm-hmm. shows there, like open mics and shit. And they have like a fucking La Marzocco, like a really nice one too.
What?
Yeah,
that's
just
crazy.
Like, just in this little fucking like coffee shop.
Like it's a tiny little hole in the wall coffee shop in a comedy theater. And then, hey, bam, has upwards of 5,000, right? Not even
no,
like 10,000.
That machine's probably like 10 to 12 grand, I think. Something
yeah,
like that.
Exactly. Yeah, no comedy theater needs a La Marzocco, but you know what?
Yeah.
It's LA and UCB has one.
Yeah.
Aren't you the barista?
Just some like
at UCB.
Little fucking cafe near Christine's brother's house that we go to. I'm like, man, this coffee's really good. And it turns out when I came here last time, I didn't know as much about coffee, but they have a really nice La Marzocco with 4-barrel coffee from San Francisco, which is a great roaster. So it's like, you know, like LA's fucking spoiling me so bad about like, like I can't live anywhere else now. The city, it's like I couldn't even live in New York in terms of the good stuff here because everything's so cheap. You know, like it's so easy to eat like a king in LA for no money.
Yeah, that's not the case here in Miami. I mean, Miami has its quality food, but like quality food comes at a price. Like just last night, I went to this taco place called Coyo.
Yeah.
And it just opened up about a month ago and it was so delicious. Holy shit. so delicious. It had Napoles, you know, the cactus.
Yeah.
It had Napoles roasted like tacos.
Mm-hmm.
Like it had quinoa, like little quinoa, like meatball, like taco filling.
Yeah.
It was so good. And the churros. When I say those are the best churros in Miami.
I like how you're part Nicaraguan and speak fluent Spanish, but you say churros like a gringo.
It's for
But how much was the bill though? That's the question.
Oh, how much was the bill?
Yeah.
Oh, for a bag of four churros?
No, I mean for all tacos, of that shit. Yeah.
That came out to like $11. Oh, it was $11.
That's funny. Because Christine went to, she said, the most amazing taco place she's ever been to. She had this awesome shrimp taco with, and she got ceviche and shit. $6.
What?
Yeah.
Here in Miami?
No, fuck no. In L.A., man. It was in Boyle,
LA?
In Boyle Heights, which is like this, it's like 95% Mexican neighborhood.
Oh man, the food. I want to make my comedy like career be decided by the food. Like, where is it best?
Yeah.
New York or LA?
I like it. I think I like New York, but New York's really expensive. And I was reading a Munchies, the Vice food blog, had a opening for an LA editor, and they were saying the difference between LA and New York food culture is like you're not really going to go far out of your borough to get food. But in LA, people will, you have to drive everywhere. So like you might as well just drive to get really good food. So you'll go to venture to another neighborhood. I do it all the time. You know, some people that aren't into it, they're like, I'm not driving a half an hour for Korean barbecue. And I'm like, I'll fucking do it. I don't give a shit.
Hell yeah, I'll do it too.
I had badass Korean barbecue with Christine's parents came into town. I had some Gangnam style barbecue. It was fucking great. I swear to God, that's what it's called. It's Gangnam style.
Gangnam style barbecue.
Gangnam style. Yeah, I think it was probably not. It probably predated the song, just because Gangnam is just a place in Seoul.
It's a neighborhood. So I think it's also like a way to describe people. Like, this person's real Gangnam. Like, they're trying to be hoity-toity. At least that's what I like when I tried to research Gangnam style. Yeah, like the song itself is actually like satirizing those that like to pretend they're rich, or at least like to have a rich lifestyle.
Yeah.
So Gangnam, not only is it a place, but it's also like, oh, these people are trying to be like bougie.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think it's like a bougie section of Seoul, in South Korea. And they would say Oppa Gangnam style, and like Oppa is like grandpa, which is the term that they use for a guy who has a sugar. He's a sugar daddy.
He's a sugar.
That's what I think it is.
Man, food! Yeah. I'm so pumped.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I fucking talk about, and it gets kind of boring for people. I think, I don't know, but that's what? Like my hobby. You know, that's my passion outside of
that's
comedy.
A great
that's my passion.
To have.
Yeah. I mean, my it's cardiologist doesn't think
I'm
so,
at,
but
I'm
hey.
I'm in a nutrition class.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a nutrition class, and like, I love food, and the way I've been eating, I have no regrets. Like, you know, like, there's people that's like, oh, I should have never eaten that. I'm like, I'm so happy I ate that. No matter what it is, if it was like a bowl full of milk, full of Oreos, I'm glad I ate that. But learning about food and what it could do to your body and how important it is, because you know you need it to live. Like, a lot of people know that, but it isn't until like you really learn about it where you're like, shit, I need to tighten up. I need to get it together, because there's people dying out here because they have too much vitamin C. Like, what's going on?
What?
Oh my gosh. Well, it's not vitamin C. I was lying about that. More like if you can overdose on vitamin E, K, and A. Yeah, like those are the vitamins that if you have too much of, they could be harmful to you. Like,
no,
they could
shit.
Reach levels of toxicity. Yeah.
Vitamin K, so, that's a
vitamin K,
ketamine.
E, yeah.
It's ketamine.
Yeah. Yeah, fat soluble. Careful, guys. Warning, Black and Jew listeners, don't have too much vitamin K. Have enough of it. It's important, but not too much. All right.
You don't want to overdose on that. That would be the pussiest way to go. That'd be a horrible
way to go.
That
would be the pussiest.
He overdosed on vitamins? Like, good. I'm glad they're
he
dead.
Overdosed. He overdosed on vitamins. Yeah, you don't want to be made fun of by the weed addicts, you know? Like, you don't want to be like, well, at least I'm not that guy that overdosed on vitamin supplements.
It's funny. You can overdose on vitamin K, but you cannot overdose on marijuana.
You can just... Overdosing on marijuana just makes you uncomfortable. Like, yeah. Like,
and one of those is illegal.
Yeah, exactly.
One of them can murder you.
And wake up,
illegal.
America.
You can buy them at GNC. And mm-hmm. one of them is illegal. And not as illegal here. Even though it's funny, because I haven't even... I've seen like two pot shops since I came here. I just...
You've seen two pot shops?
Yeah, that's it. I you know, apparently the weed's really good here. There's a whole world of illegal substances you could purchase, but I know nothing of it. Like, I haven't smoked weed, and I can't even remember how long. But yeah, I was hanging out at Echo's under Sunset, and someone was like, "Hey, you got weed? Like, you got any weed to smoke?" And I'm like, "No, I don't." So I was talking to someone actually outside, and they were like, "Do you smoke weed?" Like, and I'm like, "No." They're like, "What's your drug of choice?" And I'm like, "Alcohol. Like, I drink once a week. That's about it. Like, that's my like
you're
drinking."
Tell them your real drugs: comedy, and Korean barbecue.
She actually asked,
like, coffee.
She actually asked me what are your vices? And I said, food. That's my
food.
Vice.
That's my vice. It's like a sweater for the inside of your body. I like that warm feeling. I like food. What are your vices? That seems like a very LA question.
You know, it's really funny because, like, that LA, like, whole, like, LA juice bar, hope natural, like, weird out there hippie stuff or whatever, like, it's really not in your face at all. Like, it's like, it's kind of there, but I really
just learned how to be cooler.
Yeah, I really hear people talking about it. What's funny is I hear more people talking about the bad things that people say about LA than the actual people talking about the bad things in LA.
So wait, so people talk more about the bad things than they do the good things?
No. I'm saying people talk about the bad things that people say about LA than actual people say. Because, like, I hear people say, I heard that people say that LA's superficial, but I rarely hear someone say LA's superficial.
Okay. All right. I see what you mean. Well, you've been there for, like, what, 3 months now?
Yeah.
What do you think? How much of it is real? How much you like it?
I like the city. It's good, you know. But I think that LA is all of those bad things relative to, like, Illinois or the Midwest. Because a lot of people come here from those parts of the country, and yeah, if you come from, like, Peoria, this is a very superficial place. But you come from Miami, and it's a hippie commune. Like,
yeah.
Like,
okay.
Like, everyone's like says how beautiful the people are in LA. No,
but then when you're
like,
when
compared
you're
to
Miami,
compared to Miami, like, people are ratchet as fuck here.
Yeah,
like, people put very little effort into their appearance here compared to Miami. Well, people put effort into their appearance, but it's like a different. It's not like
it's like
they put effort into looking like they put in no effort. Like, it's more of like a punk rock kind of thing. Like, I saw a guy wearing steampunk glasses to brunch once.
Stop. You should have tossed a plate. You should have frisbeed a plate to that guy's face. He's, steampunk glasses? Come on. Like, what? Steampunk is so inefficient. Why would people want that to be, like, the aesthetic or the technological, you know, advance that we make? Everything would be hot and moist, and you'd be sweaty. There. Boom. Deconstructed steampunk in, like, 30 seconds.
Shot it down.
Steampunk.
Well,
glasses.
The people that like steampunk are already hot and sweaty all the time and smell bad, so fuck it.
Yeah, does steampunk have showers? I don't know enough about steampunk to. Steampunk. That's so stupid. I hate people that dedicate their lives to stuff like that. Like, people that are really into cyberpunk, which, by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, Mike, but we are currently in the weirdest type of cyberpunk ever.
What?
Where we have politicians sharing memes and GIFs or GIFs.
That's
however
not
you
cyberpunk. That's like cyber grandpa.
There you go. We're in the middle of cyber grandpa right now. It's lame. I wish we could
that
have
sounds
neon
like an Adult Swim show, cyber grandpa. Or like an improv team name.
I wish I could write for Adult Swim. Like, I would love to have, like, either a show or, like, just be on the staff writing for like Venture Brothers or some shit.
Yeah, I think 90% of comedians also share that sentiment with you. Or any good. Sort so of then, any so sort of have, creative professional.
So then, like, so then I'm right. That's all you're saying. That, like, yes, that's a very good idea, Reggie.
I agree.
That's yeah, all. I agree. That's all you're saying. Okay, good. This was less climactic than I thought it would be. I thought you'd definitely be against like me wanting to write and chase my dreams.
Yeah, I am. I am. You should be an accountant. I was actually talking to this one comic, and he was saying, he's like, yeah, you know, he's like, I really like to do South by Southwest because imagine all the people you meet, that'd be a good thing to do. And I'm like, yeah, doing South by Southwest would be a great festival to do. Like, do you think this is like an original idea? Like,
all right, I see your point now, because that guy's an idiot. But his head's in the right place, but he's an idiot. he's not breaking new ground.
Yeah,
man, I'd really like to be a staff writer
on a hit TV show. That would be cool, right? Yeah, that would be cool. Yes, I agree. That would be a cool thing.
Wouldn't it be great if I got better?
Wouldn't it be great if I had like more money than I have now? Like, I have not a lot of money, but if I had more money, that'd be good. Right?
I could like do stuff and pay my bills with more frequency. That'd be like nice.
That'd be super great. So, you know, it's funny how you're laughing at my Warner Brothers tour guide job, but this shit was not easy to get. Okay. This was a fucking process.
I mean, I'm just being an asshole, but I bet it was very hard. I bet like they have standards like Disney.
There's like no such thing as like a easy showbiz job. Regardless, it's like just even in the like the even if you're working for free, it's crazy. Like for this job, I applied online. I had to do a phone interview. Then I went at 9 a.m. to Warner Brothers. Had to wear business attire. I wore a suit. Some people didn't. We had like these team building exercises where we had to fold a paper airplane one fold at a time. Right. And then we had to, then we had to throw them as a contest. We crumbled up ours in a ball and we thought that was real creative, but they disqualified us. And then
that goes farther than all the dumb airplanes.
It doesn't count as a plane technically. Then we had to, we were faced with a difficulty you might have on a tour. And how would you deal with it? Ours was that a tour group that wants to guide, they think they are the tour guide. And then we had to give a 1-minute presentation about a Warner Brothers produced show at a fictional soundstage. And we also had to introduce the person next to us and be like, hey, like, what's their name? What's their favorite Warner Brothers show? And why do they, and what's their favorite Warner Brothers show? And why do they want to be a tour guide? And this was like from 9 to 3. And then we had to do online background checks. And then after that, I finally got a phone call and asked me to come in, and then now training is going to start for me.
Shit. Damn, you were basically in a beauty pageant.
Pretty much, yeah. It was like, it was a huge group, and some people didn't make it. I think one guy didn't make it because they said business attire, and he wore a gray shirt with an open button down that was not businessy at all, and like kind of had his, like didn't shower beforehand, and had like old jeans and work boots, and I'm like, don't know if you got the memo. Like,
you're,
I think a lot
definitely
of,
not going.
I think a lot of it is just like, does this person have common sense? Like, does this person get very easy things? Because like a surprising amount of people, like they just don't get things that are like really simple. Like they can't follow like very simple instructions.
That's the best filter. Simple instructions. Like, if you can't read all the way to the end of that email that says, please wear business attire, please have a red balloon when you come in to the interview, then you already knocked out a bunch of people. Like, that's awesome. That's perfect. Simple filters are the best filters. Because just like you said, time and time again, nobody gets it. No one just has common sense.
No, a lot of people do, but some people don't.
Wait. Oh, okay. All right. So some people just don't have common sense. There we go.
A surprising amount of people don't have common sense.
So what are you gonna do now? Like, you got to learn the whole history of Warner Brothers, or
I don't like the tours are crazy. Like, the amount of information they have. So I'm gonna have to. I don't know what the training is going to entail, but it's like an all day training. It's like I think it's going to be like a week or 2 weeks of training. I start on Monday. Shit. Yeah, I start on Monday.
Do you specialize in a tour? Like no one gives a tour of Studio 68 like Mike does. He's legendary over in Studio 68.
No, I think they cater it. I think they cater it to the people, because last tour I was on, like there was some girls that were really big fans of Pretty Little Liars. So they took us, they catered the tour to them, I think, because no one else was expressing, you know, a strong feeling for a show that the soundstage was open. So they took us to the Pretty Little Liars set. Like we got to go to the soundstage. We got to go to this house that they use for like a lot of exteriors and like interiors. And they're like, oh, you might recognize this is blah, blah's kitchen. Or whatever. It's super interesting because what's awesome about the Warner Brothers tour is like certain tours are it's kind of like a theme park ride, you know, and like they do mock-ups of things, but Warner Brothers, like you're actually touring the lot. You're on an active like studio back lot. Like you actually get to see the real sets, and that's cool as fuck, in my opinion. I'm super stoked for this job. Like I'm fucking stoked. This job sounds like a lot of fun. I'm excited.
Yeah. When was the last time you had like a job?
What do you mean?
Like a 9-to-5. Like somewhere where you got up at this time and then you left at this time.
Maybe. I mean, I only did it for a week because I had surgery around that time. But I fact-checked the voiceovers on... I fact-checked the voiceovers on... this TV show on Animal Planet, but that was only for like a week. But the last time I had a consistent 9-to-5, it was not a 9-to-5 because it was more like a, like 9 at night to 5 in the morning. But when I worked at the Vagabond, and that was years, that was like 2010.
Ooh, damn. You think you feel ready? I mean, I know you're stoked, but you feel ready to enter the workforce?
Yeah. I feel, I mean, okay. I did.
I'm not trying
when
to
I was,
psych you out. I just want to like get gauge like how you
fuck
feel.
You
like,
trying to psych me out. Are you trying to make me a failure, Reggie? You asshole. No.
Maybe Reggie's right. I can't handle real work.
All
right,
I'm gonna call him. Sorry, I'm gonna have to decline the job.
my podcasting partner said I couldn't do it, and he was right.
Yeah, I what was I gonna say? I feel ready. Yeah, I mean, I'm doing this internship, and I'm doing all right. So.
Yeah.
I think I'll be okay with the job.
You got a good head on your shoulders. I'm honestly not worried about it. You'll knock it out of the park, and you'll like, hey, check out this Pretty Little Liars set. Look at all these secrets. Look at all this stuff being made. You'll be a good tour guide. Obviously, I don't know what a tour guide does, so I'm a bad gauge for that. But I'm really confident in your ability. Mike,
yeah, you did. That was a great representation. Hey, there's this thing.
Here's another thing. Look, TV's happening.
Television is happening here. Welcome to Warner Brothers Studios.
So is like Modern Family filmed in Warner Brothers Studios?
That's ABC Disney.
Oh, okay. I think they produce it. What do I know? Is Supernatural filmed in there?
I don't know. That's a good question. I should figure this out. Stop asking me these questions. I'm going to look very bad. I know. All right. I'll tell you that The Big Bang Theory is Warner Brothers produced. 2 and a Half Men is Warner Brothers produced. Mike and Molly is. And the new show Mom with Anna Faris is also Warner Brothers. And Warner Brothers does all the Batman movies. There's a place on the Warner Brothers studio lot where you can go and see all the old Batmobiles, like the real actual ones they used.
Ooh. All right, now we're talking. Hey,
Friends,
if Supernatural
was Warner Brothers produced,
whatever. If you see Jared Padalecki over there, spit in his face for me. All right.
Who is that?
Some guy on Supernatural that I have beef with.
Why?
I'm just kidding. I don't have no reason at all.
Because Haley's got a crush on him.
No, I don't even think Haley likes Supernatural. The guy's. The people that Haley likes are like, honestly, they're the people I like too, and I, you know, like we always agree on people we like.
Yeah,
like so I'm like, damn, I can't fight that because I also like that dude or I also like that girl. So shit, I'm glad we align on people we like.
And then you guys scissor while looking at pictures of Supernatural.
Yeah. Yes. We scissor. We scissor, and we look at a. We just Netflix Supernatural in the background.
You just scissor in your tumbler of Supernatural GIFs.
Hey, I curate a very, very good and famous Supernatural tag. All right, just look at me. Fuck yeah, Supernatural in my ass, 2000, right there, .tumblr.com.
Supernatural is produced by Warner Brothers Studios.
Oh, see, boom. I'm already ahead on this. Hey, give me that job. I'll be over there in a week.
Conan is produced on the Warner Brothers lot.
TBS, right?
Yep.
Okay, sweet. Get in good with Conan.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be nice. I actually, that's one of the first places I went was Warner Brothers Studios when I got here to see Forrest go on Conan.
I'm so glad Forrest went on Conan first. I love Conan. Love him so much.
Yeah.
Like, Conan's just wonderful. Great. I want that to be my first late night appearance. The Conan O'Brien Show.
Okay,
Team Coco.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yes.
Hey, I'm now. I'm not expressing like, hey, wouldn't it be cool? Like, wouldn't it be great for my career? No, I want that one to be the first one.
If Jimmy Fallon was like, hey, you want to be on my show? What would you say?
I'd say, don't ever break again, and then I'd go do Conan's show. Did you see that SNL 40th anniversary?
No, I didn't.
It was actually pretty impressive. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I saw Kanye West's performance, which was the fucking dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Wow, that's such an original opinion. What other things do you have to say about Kanye West?
You're a big Kanye West fan, right?
Yeah, I'm a Kanye West fan.
Kanye, are you a defender of Kanye West and his horrible?
I'm an understander. Okay, so what's horrible about him? First, let me get what's horrible first, and we'll see.
Well, Kanye West, I don't put that much thought into Kanye West, but I will say that
so let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
So just like everybody else, you don't put much thought of Kanye West. Go ahead.
And but he's like it wasn't until recently because, you know, I always hear about how Kanye West is so full of himself, blah blah, et cetera, et cetera. But then it's like with the whole thing with Beck, you know, like. I just like he did that thing to Taylor Swift first off, which is a fucking horrible thing to do to somebody. And then during the Grammys in 2015, Beck is on stage and he beat Beyonce for Album of the Year. And then he goes on stage and then he turns around and acts like, and then like Jay-Z's like, no, don't do it. And Kanye West turns around and you're like, oh, he learned something about himself. He learned humility. He's making a joke about himself. That's great, Kanye West. And then he goes and gets an interview on E and he's like, no, actually, I was about to do it, but I decided against it because Jay-Z was looking at me funny or whatever. But we were robbed of Beyonce's artistry. She's so much better than Beck. It's like, seriously, man, are you fucking kidding me? Like, his complete lack of self-awareness is just like, come on.
That is, Kanye West is insanely aware of himself. Actually, I've never known any person in the public eye more aware of himself than Kanye West. And I'm not just saying that to defend him. I'm actually saying that as someone who has one, personally had a real struggle trying to like him or see past what people tell me about him.
Yeah.
So then I've actually I've went into like Kanye West and like what he's done like very critically because one of the things, just me personally, as like a rule of thumb, I don't ever want to just blindly follow anybody. I want to like see like where it's at and what's going on with this person or like this thing. So one, Kanye West is very aware of himself. All his he knows he's an asshole. Like all his songs reference that and like reference him trying to come to terms with like his passions and like the way he feels about certain things. Also, I think it should be noted that like Kanye West, four occasions, he's actually given his award to other people. Like he's won an award one year it was him and Lil Wayne running for best rap album of the year, right? When he won, he's like, yeah, I'm sorry, but I did not get best rap album of the year. And he gives it to Lil Wayne. And he's like, if this was last year, maybe, but Lil Wayne had the best album of the year. So Kanye West, when he speaks about artistry, it's like, it's one, his opinion, which you know what? Because it's delivered from the person, the way people perceive this person kind of feels like it's like lofty and like this guy's crazy and what does he know? But like Kanye West is very passionate about his opinions and follows through with them. That and
so did Hitler. Honestly,
yeah, so did a bunch of people. That's such a weak argument. It's so absurd that that's how you come at me. Yes, so did Hitler. So did Margaret Thatcher. Like, who else are we gonna?
So I'm just saying, like, just because he like stands by his, like, just because he has convictions doesn't mean they're good convictions.
That's very true. Just like, hey, wait, Hitler. Yeah, I get that. But this isn't Hitler we're arguing about. This is about a man who's honestly, he's been doing art much longer than you have, and who has been engrossed into the music world for much longer than any of us have, and has honestly, time and time again, produced work that has like been critically acclaimed. And, you know, like, some people ask Kanye to be humble, but please tell me, why should he be?
Because humility is a good quality to have as a human being.
Oh yeah, but like when you're constantly being reaffirmed, like when you have tons of Grammys behind you, tons of production Grammys behind you, when your albums always sell out, like Kanye West doesn't need you to instill the values he needs. Kanye West has those things to himself, and like, you know what? He's gonna stay snatching mics, and I'd support him. And also,
yeah,
like,
that's you. So you are a diehard Kanye West supporter and defender.
I am, because I guess I just view it differently. When people see that, they try and like demonize him. Like, okay, I get that.
He's begging for demonization.
Listen to Beck's new album? No. Did you listen to Beck's new album?
No, I haven't listened to it.
Okay. In any way. Like, even if you heard like one note off of Beck's new album passing by a car, did you hear Beck's new album?
No, I haven't heard Beck's new album.
Did you hear Beyonce's album?
No, I haven't heard Beyonce's album either.
You have not heard any bit of Beyonce's album?
I've probably heard some of it, yeah. I don't know the track listing, the names off of it.
Like, you know, Drunk in Love, Surfboard, that song.
Yeah,
any other
Beyonce's
song.
Like, she's all right. Like,
I'm not arguing like whether one's good or bad. I'm just saying, like, just the fact that like you did not hear one album over the other, mm-hmm. I didn't listen to Beck's album, but I did, like, I heard Beyonce's all over the place. Beyonce released a video for every song in that album. She released it without advertising, and it sold millions. She knows how to dance. She knows how to sing. Sure, she didn't write everything. I mean, come on. I know Beck wrote everything, and I know Beck used a bunch of instruments, but like,
he played all the instruments
that touch people.
He played all the instruments on his album.
Beck.
Huh?
I'm not going to take anything away from
like,
Beck, by
the way. Like, he played all
the
instruments on his album, and you're going to say that because this award was awarded to a guy who played every instrument on his album versus a produced corporate pop star that, okay, I understand if you're like, okay, I think Beyonce's album was a better album. All right, fine. You're entitled to your opinion. But to go so far as to say, oh, because they chose Beck, they don't respect artistry. It's like, give me a fucking break. Like, how far is your head up your ass that you're going to make a comment like that? Like, I think that the thing with Kanye West is that he's been told yes so much, and he's been told he's such a genius that at this point it's just like he thinks he's beyond reproach, and he thinks all of his opinions are clad in gold, which I just don't think that's the truth, you know? And I don't even think Kanye West as an artist, like, I've heard a lot of Kanye West music. Like, it's all right. Like, he's pretty good, but he's not a genius. He's all right. Maybe I don't know enough about hip hop or something. I'm not sure. It's just like, I've listened to it. Nothing he's ever done has like blown me away. And I certainly don't think it warrants the kind of ego that this guy has. Like, yeah, he's successful as a business person, but it's like, does that make you the greatest artist in the world? No, I don't think so.
is like who, like, I guess like I, okay, several things to this. One, can we both agree that the Grammys are bullshit?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I mean, okay. So one, Grammys are bullshit. Like, let's not let's not really weigh things with Grammys.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably some significance to them, but like on the whole,
I'm not winning like, a Grammy. Let's put it that way. I'm not winning a Grammy anytime soon.
I mean, they have comedy Grammys, but you know, like, so, I mean, I'd love a comedy Grammy. You know, that'd be cool. But like, look, so let's agree, Grammys are bullshit. Okay, let's just set that down. I don't want to take away anything from Beck. He played all the instruments. That's cool. Play all the instruments. I respect that. I like Beck. Like, I like Beck. Please. Gold was a great album. And then it was a lot of fun when he released that one album that was just a book of songs. Uh-huh. he released the album before this one in a songbook. He's like, just play the album. So totally like the guy. Respect Beck. Also, Kanye West likes Beck. Kanye West is very familiar with Beck's work and everything Beck does. Now, what I think is the best album of the year, I don't agree that it was Beyonce's, neither do I agree that it's Beck's. Like, if a governing body of music critics told us this is what we're choosing for best album of the year and these are our unknown criteria for choosing them, how do you choose that album? Like, I want to know, sure, Beck played all the instruments, but why was Beck and Beyonce considered for best album of the year? Like, it can't just be the deciding factor probably and most likely wasn't like, oh, look at all these instruments he played. Mm-hmm. The fact still remains that Beyonce and Beck were in the same category.
Yeah.
In the same year for the same damn thing. Best album of the year.
Uh-huh.
All right. So that's several things to that. Second, look. I honestly, and you know what might be unpopular, but I honestly do think Kanye West is a genius. I honestly do think that. Because he has not given me any proof that he isn't. Okay. And like, there's all types of like smarts, right? Well, he might not be, you know, the greatest social genius or like emotional genius, but he is a type of genius. And I don't want to shine, like, I don't want to be too, like, I don't want to focus on the minutiae, because then we're just always going to argue the tiny things.
Yeah.
But, like, I do think he's a genius, and, like, he backs up what he says and what he feels, like, with legitimacy. Like, whenever he does not, like, any awards he gets, mm-hmm. he has given. And any other awards he's gotten for other things, he has given to what he believes in. Mm-hmm. So, and if I wanted to really have a discussion about music in general, who am I going to talk to? The guy that called him an idiot on the comment section or Kanye West?
The guy who called him an idiot on the comment section, because they obviously know everything.
Yes, they obviously know everything. Oh, you're right. Sorry. Comment sections are worth their gold in knowledge and information.
Well, I mean, he says he does. He says he's a musician, misspells the word musician, so... he's got to know.
So,
you know?
So yeah. So I think people are way too quick to call him, you know, an asshole, and then, you know, that's just it. And then have the media dehumanize him.
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like,
I mean, demonize him.
I think you're just giving him too much credit, and he's really just an asshole. That's my opinion.
And like I said before, he's very self-aware. Also, I've never met an artist who had as clear of a vision as Kanye West. You called that SNL performance stupid. Well, guess what? It probably was. All right. I enjoyed it, but just because one of my favorite artists, Vic Mensa, was featured on SNL, and I was really happy for him.
So I thought it was ridiculous. Like, what the performance looked like to me was just someone who's like, everything I do is amazing. Like, and he's lying on the ground, you know, like just for God knows how long with a softbox over him. And I'm like, it seems like an emperor has no clothes sort of thing. It's like, he's like, this is genius. And then it's like, cause me, like from the outside looking in, I'm just like, he looks like an artist to me, that like a painter that does some like really bad abstract artwork, and they have this crazy artist statement. And it's like, that's not good. I don't really. No.
Well, let me present this then. if you, Mike, if you approach everything with the certainty, like with 100% certainty, mm-hmm. wouldn't you like what you produce no matter what? Like, it's like
yeah, but humility is what makes people better.
You think humility makes people better?
Yeah, I do. Because I don't really think Kanye West is that great of an artist. Like, I've listened to his stuff and I'm like, all right, this is good. But it's not like some insane musical genius. Like, yeah, he's a good producer. But I just don't, like, I'm not going to toe the line. Like, I know that it's repeated over, okay, Kanye West is an asshole, but he's a genius. And I'm like, and I listen to it and like, if like, I'm like, nah, I don't think so. Like, I listened to one track that, like on one of his albums, I forget which, one of the newer ones, and, like, my friend was like, dude, listen to this beat, and I'm like, that sounds like some techno stuff I've heard a long time ago.
Do you understand Pablo Picasso's Guernica?
Which one's Guernica?
I don't know. You looking it up?
Yeah, I'm looking it up. Generic... Pablo Picasso.
Like, just looking at the picture, like, do you understand Pablo Picasso's Guernica?
Yeah, I remember. Is that the one, the big black and white one?
It's a lot of bodies all mangled together, like really big painting.
Is it black and white?
I think it should be black and white. Yeah, or probably a black and white picture was taken of it.
And there's like a bull's head and shit, and there's like light.
A bull's head and stuff.
Yeah, I saw that. I actually saw the real one when I was in Valencia.
Like, when you first saw the real one without reading the little white placard next to it, uh-huh. did you like immediately like, oh god, oh shit, I got it. It's the Spanish War. He's critiquing the Spanish War.
It's a good painting, you know. Like, I liked it when I saw it. I didn't know what it was about, but I got it.
You got what did you get?
I don't know. Like, I mean, I liked the painting. Like, I thought it was good. A good painting.
You thought it was good.
Yeah, I thought
but
it was
not
good painting.
Great. Well, why didn't you think it was great? It's like one of the greatest paintings ever.
I mean, it's a great painting. What's your point? Yeah, it's a great painting. So you're saying
now it's a great painting.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I thought it was a good painting, Mike. See what I'm saying? Like, what I'm saying is, like, you know how just Pablo Picasso's Guernica right now, you said it was good?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, like, a bunch of people said it's like one of the best. Uh-huh. Art critics will hail it as like a masterpiece.
Yeah.
But you think it's good. I think, like, at the end of the day, like, you'll get a lot of critics. Like, you'll get, like, the needle drop. You'll get, like, you'll get, like, other blogs, potholes in my blog, all that stuff. They'll hail this. As they'll hail Yeezus, right? Let's just say Yeezus, which is the most recent. They'll hail it as a masterpiece, right? Mm-hmm. And you'll listen to it and you'll be like, this is probably some techno stuff I heard earlier in my life.
It's all right.
It's okay.
Yeah, I heard
you'll,
some of
you'll
Yeezus
look at,
it's all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think it warrants saying, like, calling yourself a Jesus, like, giving yourself a God complex and think you're the greatest thing ever, you know? Like I feel like he definitely has room for growth. Like, College Dropout was good. Like, it was a good album, but it's like, I think to think that you're so amazing that you have no room to get better, that you're just, everything you do is gold. Like, no human is that. That is not a thing that exists. And that's like a horrible mentality to have.
I mean, I could see that, obviously, when you start off or when you're in a craft, you want to constantly seek perfection, not think that you have perfection. I get that. I get that process. But mm-hmm. I think within that process, you also have to stand firm with what you do. And it's not like from College Dropout all the way to Yeezus, things have changed and, like, the katana has been folded many times. It's never been like College Dropout, everybody loved that. Now I'm just going to stay with College Dropout and call myself a genius. Mm-hmm. No, it's been like College Dropout, everybody loved that. 808 Heartbreak, people loved that. I did something very, very different from what I did before. People like loved that. And I stood behind both albums. Now we're going to go to Yeezus. People loved that. It was different. It was like reflective of like where rap is going to nowadays, which is noise rap or whatever. And I like that. It's always been like each album has been very distinct in voice and in quality, and like it stands on its own. Like each album is not like leaning on the previous one. Each album stands on its own and gives something, or like has Kanye studying or like moving towards something different.
Publicly he thinks he's the best, he actually does grow a lot as an artist.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah, maybe I'll listen to some more Kanye. Reformulate my opinion, but I just don't think any sort of prowess justifies that kind of behavior. Just my opinion.
I don't think so either. But I do think like, I mean, I don't want to be lame to bring it to this, but I do think as a person of color, you need to be louder.
Yeah,
you need to think you're better. You need to be louder, and you need to like work harder than those around you. It's one of those things like. It was like a line on Scandal once where they're telling like Kerry Washington's character, like I think her dad was telling her, like, what have I always told you? And it's like, you've always told me I need to work twice as hard. I need to be twice as better. You know, just I just think like it's so easy for America to like dislike an angry black man that's very sure of himself, or like at least feels very sure of himself. You know, that's the other thing I think should be taken away from this. And this, like, and just like your opinion, or like at least what you've expressed to me, like, I don't want to say that that's your solid opinion, or maybe it is, but your opinion is very emblematic of like the way people have treated Kanye, or like at least people think of Kanye, which I totally think is up to you. I'm not here to like, no, you're wrong, and then shake it out of you.
Yeah.
But I feel a certain way because, one, I'm a fan. That definitely fuels me. I love hip-hop. I love rap. That's the other thing that fuels me. And I'm also more engrossed in this community of, like, you know, of this music. You get what I mean? So I'm constantly... I have things to compare Kanye to more readily than I guess you... You're like, I have more resources or tools.
Yeah, because this is like my visceral reaction to it. It's not like a super formed opinion. This is just like superficially what I get from Kanye West.
And I totally understand that. And I don't, and I'm not.
Because I'm not like totally, like I'm not super tuned into pop culture, but this is the visceral reaction. Like I see him do like just some grand arrogant gesture like that. And I'm like, Jesus, are you fucking serious right now?
Yeah. No, I totally understand that. I mean, when I first saw him do that, I thought it was kind of funny. And I mean, it was like, oh, look at what I did last time. Now I'm not doing it. You know, just thought that was kind of cool. But at first taking it in, like with all things, I was like, oh, are you going to do that again? Okay.
And he was about to do it again. Apparently he did not thought that it was cool to do that again. Like that's fucking, that's a great mentality to have. If you want to be successful, to have that kind of like full of yourselfness and self-assuredness. You know, I mean, it just like I feel like there's a lot of artists that don't have to do that or don't do that yet still have the same amount of success. You know, I don't think it's a requirement.
It's not a requirement. There's tons of artists like that are still good and still retain like, you know, their artistic merit, like their artistic, you know, validity and don't act the way Kanye do. Just like, you know, Pablo Picasso was an asshole, right?
No, not a huge Pablo Picasso knower guy. Like, I don't know that much about him, but yeah, continue.
Well, like, he would be drunk all the time, and he'd walk into people's houses and tell them, hey, let me fuck your wife. Like, he'd also, like, always try and sleep with the models that were posing for him.
Yeah.
And, like, he was the biggest dickhead. And I mean, look at guy?
Fuck that guy.
Who's the guy? Yeah, no, like Pablo Picasso was.
Hey, fuck Pablo Picasso and fuck Kanye West. Fuck both of those guys. They're gonna go and try to fuck people's wives.
Who else was it? What's this guy that was writer, Spanish War, part of the Roaring
Twenties? Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah, Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah,
another douchebag. So I mean. I'm not saying it's a necessary quality, but like everyone's different.
It helps.
All people that are in creative mediums are different, you know?
It definitely helps to be like that. You know, like that's like you wonder why some assholes get to the top, and it's like that kind of self-assuredness will make you successful. You know, like that's like to believe in yourself that much, it could be your downfall or it could propel you. You know, like I think that's what a lot of I think that I was actually I saw this like psychology study about what do all athletes have in common? Like, and they found that great athletes are masters at self-delusion. That's like, they interviewed all these runners and they're like, they're really good at saying, I'm the best. Like, no one's better than me, regardless of how true that is, you know? And that's what part of what drives them to be successful athletes.
So then what we have here is like a situation where like, who has the right formula? Because, like, Beck, we'll call Beck a genius probably more readily than we'll call Conley a genius. We won't delve into the possibility of, like, that being a white and black thing. But whatever. But like, you know, Beck comes off as...
Like, I think geniuses are so rare that it's, like, there's very few people...
Even someone that's really good at something. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking over you. But I get where you're coming from. Like, just the title. Like, someone that's a genius. Like, Charlie Bird Parker. That guy, he was a genius.
Yeah. Like, I think Jimi Hendrix was a genius. Like, I listen to Jimi Hendrix's music, and I'm like, holy fucking... Like, I'll play some of his songs, and then I'm like... And maybe if I break down Kanye West like I break down Jimi Hendrix, I'll be like, oh, shit, this guy fucking... This guy is a fucking genius. I don't know. Maybe I will. But, like, I play Jimi Hendrix songs, I'm like, you're doing this? Like, you're bending this note in, like, the 1969, like, this is what you're playing?
Yeah,
that's fucking
exactly.
Insane. Like, no one plays like you. And maybe,
and
I mean,
the
maybe that's the
way.
Case. Is that the case with Kanye West and hip hop? Like, is it like you listen to it and you're like, nobody does this?
I listened to Kanye West, and one, when he came onto the scene, he was very young, and he was flipping samples like no one else was flipping samples. Back in like the early days where like it was very common and very popular to like, you know, take samples and like twist them and bend them and make them your own thing. He kind of almost single-handedly revitalized Jay-Z's career. Like he helped him out. And then once he started getting behind the mic, let me be honest, Kanye's rhymes are not like, they're not like Andre 3000 or like, let's see who else, or like Nas, you know, they're not that. He's not like, check out my wordplay and allusions and like my metaphors and similes. But like the sheer content behind like his rhymes, it almost reads off as like, I'm trying to think of someone who is like very matter of fact, but like, very like heavy in substance. You get where I'm coming from? Like it's really plain, but like because it's like presented to you in such a way, it does hit you a little bit harder, just
like
as,
Ernest Hemingway
just as well.
Ernest Hemingway was a minimalist.
Yeah, like it's like, and then you also got the fact that like he curates, or like he has a very clear vision of how things should be presented, especially with the album and like the way like he forms like whatever he's doing, like in like College Dropout or like Graduation. Well, more College Dropout. There was you see like you or like oh New Registration. Like you see like there's a running theme. There's a very explicitly stated running theme, and within that, very cleverly hidden, like things are like for example, there's this one song that has the chorus that goes, has like kids singing. It's like these kids singing a chorus that goes, "We weren't supposed to make it back past 25. Joke's on you, we still alive," and like that coupled with what he's saying. Uh-huh. And just like the whole song, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is much more than just like him bragging. It's him bragging about leaving a system that's working against him. It's him with these kids bragging about beating a system that works against them. And then it's also just, you know, regular rap opulence and like braggadociousness.
Standard rap opulence.
So like,
yeah, I mean, look, Kanye West is a good artist. I'm not going to take that away from him, but it's just, I, in my opinion, just nothing justifies that kind of behavior. Just it's a quality that I find very reprehensible. That's all. You know, I can't. Yeah. Regardless of how good you are, like I just can't. I just can't be okay with that shit. You know.
Yeah, I mean, if someone came up to while we were recording and said, "Hey, you guys, I know what you're doing. I respect it, but like Marc Maron had the best podcast of all time." Like, shit, man. At least let me work towards it. You know, like or like I got the best podcast. No, that person has the best podcast. Yeah. I mean, it's not the nicest quality to have, but like I honestly do believe that like wherever Kanye's coming from, it's coming from like a very genuine place and not like a place of like, I'm a genius. Why aren't people listening to me? More mm-hmm. like, I really do feel this way. And this is why, not cause I think I'm great, but because look, here's X amount of reasons. Like if we were to like have Kanye on the podcast and have him just like say what makes like objectively what makes Beyonce's album better than Beck's, then yeah. that would be an interesting conversation to have. Like so, no one's putting a camera to his face uh-huh. and telling him, please tell me everything that makes Beyonce's album better than Beck's. But, you know.
I've heard interviews with Kanye, and it sounds like the ramblings of an insane person sometimes.
You remember when Jimmy Kimmel took what Kanye said and just put a kid in the Kanye had an interview with Zane Lowe from BBC uh-huh. One, and Jimmy Kimmel took Kanye out and just put a kid in there. Yeah. All right. Like the joke was like, hey, look at this guy trying like say stuff. He sounds like a kid. Like the joke was very weak. And uh-huh. the premise, like, although strong for the Jimmy Kimmel audience or like what Jimmy Kimmel was trying to do, was uh-huh. honestly all he did was just make a kid say what Kanye said, robbing it completely of its power and mm-hmm. like and just you know just like totally diminishing what he said.
Yeah.
Now I've seen moments where people will like they'll like transcribe what Kanye says on like Tumblr or Reddit and they're like, oh my gosh, who said this? And people will say, like, Kanye said that. It says it right there on the post. Like, they'll take actual things that Kanye said and then, like, put it as plainly as text. And mm-hmm. then they'll be like, oh, that's actually, I can see the value in that. Uh-huh. So, like, you know, like, if he sounds like an insane person rambling, well, I mean, even ramblings have like some substance to them. Like you ever seen a homeless person say like Obama's a lizard? The White House is trying to steal my brainwaves. Uh-huh. And we should spend more on education than on war.
Yeah.
You know, there's some substance.
One of those things is good in there.
Yeah, one of those things is good in there.
But again, they could be screaming the Beatles in my face for no reason. It could be like good day, sunshine, and just like screaming at me. You know, I don't know. I can't defend my point super like I can't be like, no, fuck, you're wrong, Reggie, because like you know more about Kanye West than I do, right? And I mean, not being informed, that's not going to stop me from having an opinion. Let's be honest here.
Oh yeah, but no, that doesn't stop anybody, really.
That shouldn't stop anybody. But I can't argue with you about it too much, just because like I feel like I need to do some Kanye research, you know? Because I don't like honestly, the only time I really think about Kanye is when he kind of pops up in pop culture when he does something like this. But I don't know, just that gesture itself just seemed like a ridiculous thing to do. But at the same time, you know, no issue is just black and white. Like Kanye, there's some complexity there, I'm sure. People they look at it only in the superficial superficial light of pop culture. It's like I think about Kanye like other people think about coffee. There's a lot more there. You just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'll do some I'll do some Kanye research. Maybe I think that's what I'm gonna give myself some homework for the next podcast and
Well, and if you want a good starting off point, yeah, you should really Google search Aisha A. Siddiqui. Like Aisha A. Siddiqui. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A-Y-E-S-H-A A period S-I-D-D-I-Q-I.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she has like... One, she's a brilliant writer. She's really good. But she also has a brilliant series of tweets that really break down you should look up her Storify. That's like a service that like gathers tweets together and like responses. Yeah. Her Storify on Kanye is a real good jumping off point.
All right. So yeah, I'm going to do some Kanye research, cuz this is a very polarizing topic. Like Kanye is like the vaccine of music.
Kanye's like it's like how people talked about MJ back when he was on trial.
Yeah.
Like MJ didn't do it. MJ did do it. Look how he is. Look how he was as a kid. MJ didn't do it. Look at this kid. You know, it's.
I do notice that I think like a lot of people will defend sort of behavior, like behavior if someone's good at the thing that they do. And it's like robbing Kanye of his goodness. Would people still defend the actions of a person like this? And I don't know. I don't think so. But we shall see. Because he has more detractors. He has more detractors than defenders, I think.
Damn. Cause we just spent an hour talking about Kanye.
I know. I think it was about the 30-minute mark, honestly. It's a polarizing issue because I know that you were a fan of Kanye. I remember once he was at the AAA and you were like, fuck whatever people say about Yeezus. This guy's amazing. And you took like a... And you took a picture of him in his mask, which was also. I think the mask thing was ridiculous. You know, when I see that, I'm like, this is a guy who no one will tell him no.
When he won, the mask was like made in collaboration with Margiela, like
who?
Top high end like Margiela, high end fashion brand and like fashion designer. It was made in conjunction with Margiela. And then his show, like the show, was also collaborated with like a very famous woman who does amazing set designs and like show productions and like all that stuff. When the mask and I'm telling you this as someone who I stood back. I was at first just like everybody. I was like, why does he have a mask? So then I stood back from like and I observed everyone watching Kanye.
Yeah.
Everyone, the mask served a very specific purpose that like I thought was just like it was really good and how it happened. So look, here's what happened. For the first half of his concert, he had a mask on. So he's rapping, he's like, you know, auto-tuning, he's using the 808 drum with the mask on. Mm-hmm. And people were feeling it at first because it was like kind of mysterious and eerie. But then as the show went on, you could feel the atmosphere. People were like, is that even Kanye? Is that him? Who's behind the mask? Who is it? What's happening? Who is that? Like, people didn't know. People didn't know. And they were like, and then in some small way, I kind of feel that like the mask was kind of reflective of like the album he was touring with a little bit. Where like, where's the old Kanye? Where is this, like, where's College Dropout, the thing I fell in love with? I like Yeezus, but I gotta be honest, I like you know, like Diamonds Are Forever more, you know, like people were really, really like kind of uncomfortable, but like the type of uncomfortable that comes with like watching like a very like a harsh scene in a movie, you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So then once the midway point of the concert came and he was like, you know, he kind of slowed down and took off the mask, people went crazy. Everyone was cheering as if to say like someone new came on, or like, oh, we're finally getting Kanye. And then from that point onward, he used his old songs for the remainder of the tour. Like, he's just rapping and singing his old songs. So like it was a great transformative experience. And like, the not only did the mask come off, but the set itself changed with the mask and like with the music he was playing. So that's what I think the mask served. Now, I could just probably be trying to like grasp at straws to make it make sense. But like when you look at like when you look at how you produce a show, like isn't half the fun of going to a concert, seeing like the people that you like playing, like jump around, get on top of speakers and like do something really cool with lights and lasers or something?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kanye didn't have lights or lasers, and you know what? Probably didn't even want lights or lasers. He wanted a mask, and then like in collaboration with these two great names in like, you know, fashion and set design and production, he curated something that went very well and was very well received. And like, actually, like art is supposed to be evocative. Like that's the main thing. All right. That's what art is supposed to do. It's supposed to evoke. Art is also artificial. It's artificial. Like the first three letters of artificial are art. When you can evoke, like when you can manifest or like instill feelings into somebody, then I think you're very successfully doing your art. It's like with comedy. When you can make someone laugh, well, guess what? You're actually artificially producing that feeling. You're making people laugh. You're not, you know, like you're not naturally producing it. You get what I mean?
I feel like if I say anything else on this subject, this will be an hour and a half long episode.
Give me 1 second. Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I could talk about Kanye and his concert all the time, but
You know, I think I want to look in a little bit to. More to this enigma of Kanye. I feel like I'm towing the popular line. It's probably more nuanced than I think it is, or it could not be. He could just be an asshole, but you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe he's not.
Toting the popular line.
I'll listen
line.
To some Yeezus.
Well, go, sheep. Wake up.
What's his latest album? The Yeezus?
Yeezus is the latest album.
All right, I'm going to listen to me some Yeezus. Listen.
If you listen to Yeezus, you should listen to Death Grips.
Is that a different group?
Yeah, that's a different group. But like what Yeezus is, it's kind of like, you know how Miles Davis made a Bitches Brew? And, you know, that totally set the standard for like jazz fusion. Like, holy smoke, this is Bitches Brew. This is what jazz fusion is supposed to sound like. Well, like Kanye West's Yeezus is more reflective of like what noise rap is or what noise rap could be or what noise rap is becoming. A bit like his noise rap is way more accessible to the mainstream. Death Grips is definitely the guys that like said like, "Oh, check out this weird production. I'm gonna just like I'm gonna sample this. I'm gonna put some math rock drums on this and I'm gonna have this keyboard go crazy. And you know what? I'm gonna reloop my voice really weird." So Death Grips and Yeezus. Listen to Death Grips first, then Yeezus, and then you'll kind of like you'll be like, oh, okay. So,
all right, I'll do that homework. But I think it's time to wrap up the podcast. This was a very interesting episode. I had a feeling it would be polarizing, and I was right. Great podcasting.
Great.
So,
podcasting.
I think it's about that time to sign off. I'll let you get that phone call that I saw you had.
Yeah. All right, where can people find you, Mike?
On Mike Marianoff on Twitter.
You can find me at Ratchet_Reggie on Twitter. All right, guys. And you can find the podcast at Black and Jew Pod. All right, please send us something.
Yeah, tweet us. We're lonely out there on the Twitterverse. Lonely. And praise Jesus, everybody. Praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus. All right.
So until next time.
Bye. Bye.